Our scripture this morning comes from Joshua 4, 1 through 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day.
It's a joy to be in the pulpit this morning. Barb Parlett talked to me in the choir room earlier this morning and asked that I would mention that Alberta and Jean Goshlorn has asked for prayer as well, as Alberta is dealing with chronic fatigue syndrome. I was supposed to mention that earlier. So let's remember them in a prayer as well. So it is good to be in the pulpit at Stone Church, because you can make a mistake. Something just fell, didn't it? Yeah. I can't continue on without knowing what that was. Okay. Isn't it good to be in the Stone Church pulpit today? We'll talk to somebody about that later. Dean and I, as many of you may know, are executive co-directors at Camp Blue Diamond, which is the Middle Pennsylvania District Church of the Brethren Outdoor Ministry, or church camp. Because of our position at camp, we have the privilege to be in relationship with 55 different congregations in our district. Stone Church is one of them. Stone Church is our favorite, and we don't need to tell other people that. But throughout the year, we have the privilege of visiting a number of other congregations. It's fun to do that. It's fun to reconnect with friends from other congregations. It's fun to see campers that we generally only see in the summer. It's a very special relationship. But upon entering the doors of Stone Church on a Sunday morning, I take a deep breath. It's coming home. I feel when I'm here, I'm home. And for that, I am very grateful. It's refreshing to be with family again. What is it about Stone Church that has become home? When I enter the doors, it just feels right. It feels comfortable. I'm a part of the family. I'm a part of the story that is Stone Church. In the scripture from Joshua that Amanda just read, we hear the instructions that God gave to Joshua, who was to, in turn, give the instructions to the Israelites. 12 men were to be chosen, one from each tribe, to carry one stone from the middle of the Jordan to where the priests were standing and where they were camping that night. Then the 12 stones would be piled together to serve as a memorial to the people of Israel and to God's deliverance of them. This is a fantastic story. Now, you remember the Israelite story. I'm going to do it just a nutshell, a reminder of that story. God called Moses to deliver the Israelites who had been enslaved. Pharaoh was less than pleased after some very unpleasant plagues and finally gave in, set the slaves free, and Moses and the Israelites take off for a 40-year journey. However, they are met by an obstacle of the Red Sea immediately. By then, Pharaoh has changed his mind, sent his armies to go and bring the slaves back. They get to the Red Sea. The waters are parted. The Israelites continue their 40-year journey. So now we're approximately 40 years later. They find themselves in a similar situation at the Jordan River. God gives Joshua the instructions, and like 40 years earlier, the waters were cut off and the Israelites enter the promised land. Now, certainly there's much more to this story, but given our limited time this morning, I want to spend time with verse 6. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When your children ask you, tell them the story of how God delivered you. We all have a story, and I love to tell stories, and I love to hear stories. Stories sometimes are so great that they're worth repeating again and again, like the story of the 12 stones that talk of the story or talk of the deliverance of the Israelites. Stone Church has a lot of stories, and we are all involved in these stories, whether we've been here for 60 years or if this is our very first Sunday to worship. Our brother, Earl Kaler, wrote a book published in 1981 titled Out of the Wilderness, The Brethren and Two Centuries of Life in Central Pennsylvania. Now, this book tells the early story of each of the 55 congregations in Middle Pennsylvania, as well as Juniata College, the district itself, and many of the movements that were going on during those years. Of Stone Church, Earl begins with a quote by the late Don Dernbaugh, who once said, "An unusual convergence of religious, educational, and publishing enterprises marks the beginning of the Church of the Brethren in Huntingdon. Thus, the first Brethren worship was located in a publishing plant, whence it moved 4 years later to a college chapel, remaining there over 30 years until a separate church edifice, the Stone Church, was erected." Now, the first Brethren to put their roots down in Huntingdon was Andrew B. Broomball, who practiced medicine in 1866. Dr. Broomball's family began to join him, and he encouraged his cousins, Henry and John Broomball, to move their paper, which was called The Pilgrim, from Markelsburg, just down the road, to Huntingdon in 1873. Between the doctor's family and publishing assistants, there were 9 Brethren living in Huntingdon. That's a lot. Now, these 9 Brethren would meet in homes for prayers, but they attended church in James Creek, which was the home of the Broomballs. The James Creek Church is still an active congregation. As a matter of fact, that's where Dean is today, playing his trombone with the Brethren brass. And it's located on Route 26, about 10 miles south of Huntingdon. However, the original 100-year-old building was condemned in the early 1970s by the Army Corps of Engineers as plans for Lake Raystown were being made, and the land was flooded. Andrew Broomball, his wife, cousins, and others found the commute to James Creek to be inconvenient and soon began talking about the possibilities of forming a congregation in Huntingdon. Of this, and I love this quote, Henry Broomball said, "We felt that there was work for the master right here for us to do, and that we must make a way for it." So they received $100 from the district, began to fix up a first floor room in the building where The Pilgrim was published. Now, this building was owned by the Broomballs, and it still exists and is located on the corner of Washington and 14th Street. Maybe on our way home, we could all kind of do a convoy past that. After 2 years of work, it was dedicated on June 20th, 1875, when Peter Myers preached from a pulpit donated by Dr. Broombaugh. This is noteworthy. This is a story to remember. In 1925, history notes that this use of a pulpit was a radical innovation. For you see, it was the practice of the ministers in attendance that they would sit behind a long table. And from there, the message would be given. Earl says of this action, "From the start, therefore, the Huntingdon Church had within brethren circles the reputation of being dangerously progressive." This is great. Earl wrote my sermon. So the following year, in 1876, the Huntingdon Normal College, later to be renamed Juniata, began, and this was also housed in the Broombaugh home on the corner of Washington and 14th Streets. And that was under the tutelage of Jacob Zuck. And in the following year, many students were baptized into the congregation. Soon, construction would begin for the Normal College where Juniata is presently located. In April of 1879, the Huntingdon Brethren began meeting for worship in the new Founders Hall. That's the big building next door. And continued to use the chapel for 31 years. During that time, 750 people were baptized, around 30 were called into ministry, and many were sent out as foreign missionaries. Now, lest this morning's worship begin to sound like a lecture in Jim Tootin's class, I will move quickly through the next several years, all the way to December 11th, 1910, when the space where we are gathered this morning was dedicated. The dedication speaker that morning was Dr. Martin Broombaugh, who is the superintendent of the Philadelphia Schools and president of Juniata. Since that time, annual conference took place here at Stone in 1944. The education wing was added in 56. Since then, we have had wonderful pastors. We've had a major renovation of our church building. The Stone Church has celebrated many baptisms, many weddings, love feasts, and relationships. We've said goodbye to many of our brothers and sisters who have passed on, and many who have just simply moved from the area. Noteworthy, however, is that we are gathered here this morning to worship the same God that gave instructions to Moses and Joshua, Andrew Broombaugh, Don Dernbaugh, Earl Kaler, and you and me. This is a quick snippet of our story here at Stone Church. Lots of details were left out pretty intentionally, yet as important as the historical facts and stories are the relationships and the personal stories that each of us could tell of our congregation, of our times together, of our relationships that we have formed with one another. I remember well our first Sunday at Stone Church, and I told Donna I might cry. It was August 25th, 1991. Dean and I had been at camp for about a week. We came in through the door of the Church Street entrance. Our children were with us. They were 5, 3, and almost 1. We entered the doors. We wandered down the hallway, and there was Donna Rhodes. Donna Rhodes, with a wonderful embrace, a very warm welcome. She took our children by the hand, and she took them to their Sunday school classes. And from there, their faith journey at Stone Church began. Donna has been a longtime friend. It was Donna who talked me through some of those early years when I was ready to pack up and go back to Indiana. It was my sister Donna. And I think that we would all be able to share a similar story of that relationship at Stone that meant so much. So let us consider the Israelite story, the relationships of the Israelites. None of those crossing the Jordan River had been alive at the time when Israel crossed the Red Sea, except perhaps Caleb and Joshua. They had heard the stories of deliverance. They had heard the stories of those who had been enslaved. They had heard the stories of how God had been with them. They had heard the stories of being led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. They had heard the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. Now it was their turn to experience such deliverance. It was their turn to have a story that would be told again and again. An altar was built to memorialize what God had done. When their children asked in days to come what the stone altar meant, they could give a firsthand testimonial, just as these Israelites who had crossed the river had heard the stories from their parents and their grandparents before. Now it was their story, and they would tell it again and again. We have a story, and we need to tell our story and respectfully listen to the stories of others, because stories break down anonymity, facelessness, and namelessness. Rabbi Zoe Klein of the Temple Isaiah in Los Angeles says, when we allow people to be faceless, anonymous, storyless, we allow ourselves to be heartless. This is why we need to tell and share stories, because stories deepen our knowledge of our community. They provide an entry point into the lives of our neighbors. They allow us the opportunity to move our own hearts. We need to tell stories because they speak of relationships. The story of Stone Church is one of relationships, of community, a community of people traveling our journey of faith together. It is our story that is fluid, a story with many characters, a story of a community of believers that is worth telling again and again. I love that phrase, again and again. I have a 2-year-old grandson. He says it a lot. We received a wonderful video a few months back. He's sitting at the table and Jacob is there. And Jacob has a plastic bottle. He puts a grape on top of the plastic bottle, squeezes it, the grape pops out, Jacob grabs it, and Silas is rolling over with laughter. Again, Daddy, do it again. Jacob does it again and again. May we take such delight in hearing our stories again and again. The Israelites had been on the move for 40 years. They moved en masse into the Promised Land, not knowing exactly where they were headed, not knowing when they would arrive, but they kept moving forward. They struggled to keep their faith strong. They messed up again and again. At times they lost their faith, they complained, they whined, yet God continued to lead, and they continued their journey. They continued to walk again and again. They were people who were settling into a new home with a clear sense of identity, connecting past with future, connecting faith with hope. This is our story too. Here we are on the brink of a new and exciting journey as a community of faith. We will soon welcome new pastors, and we will continue our journey, and we will continue our story. We will continue to link past with future and faith with hope. So as we revisit our mission statement, it begins, Stone Church of the Brethren is a Christ-centered community which celebrates every individual as a unique and beloved child of God. We are gathered this morning as a Christ-centered community, a community gathered in the name of Jesus, seeking to understand more deeply what it means to be a Christian, and seeking support from one another, being free to share our concerns with one another, our pains with one another, promising to pray for one another, rejoicing with one another. What stories can you tell about your Stone Church experience, our family? Perhaps it was when you were baptized and your deacon wrapped you with a warm towel afterwards, or when you were visited by a church member when you needed it most. Perhaps you remember being a part of the Christmas program. Perhaps you remember being brought to tears during an especially meaningful worship service. I invite you to recall a meaningful Stone Church story and share it with someone this morning or during the coming week. God told Joshua, "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And tell the story again and again. In the future, when your children and your children's children ask you about your faith, how God was made real in your life, tell them how God delivered you. Tell them about your experience as a member of the Stone Church family and the blessing that it is to be a part of a Christ-centered community as God's people. Tell them again and again." Let's pray. Creator and loving God, thank you for the opportunity to be together as your children, as a community. Lord, remind us of the stories of how you have grown this community from 9 people in Huntington. For, oh God, there is indeed a story, and you have repeated it again and again. Thank you. Amen.